Hello and welcome to another edition of the Mighty Movie Pod. I'm Ryan.
I am Josh.
Welcome back, episode 63. What's going on, Josh?
Not a mucho, muchacho.
Nice. Nice.
It sucks how pleased I am with myself about that.
Well, we're back in your We're back in your ear holes for another thrilling edition. We have one movie to talk about, and possibly more.
Ooh.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe you do. But the main attraction, the headliner of this episode, I guess we're just getting right to it. Scheduled banter has gone out the window.
Oh, God.
We're talking about John Wick 3.
That good old Johnny Dubs back for the third time. The best time.
Part 3 in the John Wick saga. He's back. He's pissed off, I think.
I felt like he wasn't that pissed. He's not pissed off for most of the movie. It just seems like he's a victim of his own circumstance.
Yes. Let's talk about the movie.
Okay. That's not encouraging.
What did you think about the movie, Josh?
Well, I said it already. I said the third time, the best time in a long time. I think it's my favorite one. I think it's amazing. I think it's great. I really, really love this one. The fight scene between him and the Chinese gang in the museum is one of the best fight scenes I've seen since the hallway fight in Daredevil.
Hallway fight is a good fight.
I thought that was great. I really, really, really liked this one. I liked that it answered a whole bunch of questions raised, like a series should do. It wraps up your answers and asks new questions. So every time they get rid of one plot line, we get new, like the adjudicators in this one and everything. And I was fascinated by her character. I thought she was amazing.
I liked her character.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I completely disagree. Let me preface this with it's not a bad movie.
Did you like any, you liked two better?
By any stretch of the imagination. Two is my favorite, yeah, for sure. And you are right. I think it's the weakest of the three.
Why?
But I'm gonna tell you why. Okay. So as our friend Joe Bob would tell us, there's a lot of plot.
I love that we're just at the point where we quote Joe Bob Briggs. Like, yes. Everybody knows who he is.
You should know who he
is. Everyone should know who he is. Subscribe to Shudder for that show alone.
The John Wick has always been about backstory and lore kind of showing itself and making you question what's going on. And they've done a good job of giving you sprinklings of that until about halfway through this movie. Okay,
I'm with you. Okay, I know where you're going, because I agree, kind of.
Yes, so let me say that the reason for why I think it's the weakest of three, and again, not a bad movie by any stretch, those reasons do not include fight choreography, action scenes, performances, cinematography.
I think the chase scenes were a little...
ugh. Yeah, a lot of them looked a little fake, but...
Yeah,
the one with the horse was good.
The one with the horse was better than I thought it would be. It was when he was on the motorcycle.
It looked not great and was a little fantastical. Yeah. Which the whole movie kind of is. He's a superhero.
Well, all of them are. Yeah, yeah.
He's a superhero.
Well, he's that kung fu, you know, Ronin samurai, kung fu hero kind of guy.
Yeah,
this is the American version of that.
So we always have discussions, especially after the first one and the second one answered a lot of this, but we were fascinated by the world that they hinted at. They like in the background set up this fascinating world that you're like, I want to see more of that. And the second one, we saw it.
Yeah.
It gave us a little bit like, well, what is that though? And how does this work? And how does that work?
What is the high table?
Exactly.
So on and so forth.
And then this one, it very quickly answers your question of what the hell was with the end of the second one.
Yeah.
And Halle Berry was involved. And the plot has never really mattered. John Wick kind of just gets pissed off.
Yeah.
And then he just rolls with the flow.
Yeah.
But this one, his motivations and his plan and his plot
is survival.
Is very well, but near the beginning. near the middle and the end,
it gets muddled.
It gets muddled up with why he's doing some of the things he's doing. And it's mostly, like you said, circumstance based on things that are poorly explained, but are now very important.
Yes.
Before, they were just hinted at and you knew they were there, but they weren't that important. This high table and a hierarchy within this criminal thing, it's contradicting things that are set up in the other movies almost completely.
A little bit.
With, he was part of a specific gang in the first one. He's part of the Russians. He's part of their thing.
Yeah.
And they were talking about who had power in the city. And now it's kind of like, no, everybody is listening to one rule set. It's confusing and unnecessary. And the, like I said,
the plot
is getting in the way of the story in this one. Whereas the other ones, it was like backstory and lore and intrigue. Mm. In this one, they finally gave us too much. And you're not going to like this. It's almost, it reminds me a lot of Twilight.
It's funny. You thought of Twilight. I was thinking of Blade.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Both. Yeah. Both of those kind of fit. But
no, I get the reasons
why you really like it, I am not discounting whatsoever. Like, they are top tier.
Well, because some of that plot I enjoyed. Because,
oh, absolutely.
Because
I love the Adjudicator's performance.
I love the Adjudicator. I love the idea of the high table, that at some point everybody answers to somebody.
Somebody. Because somebody's got to keep them from leaking stuff out, yeah, or run the economy. I really liked when they were hinting at the economy.
I was going to say, did you like the explanation for the gold coins? Because you and I were talking about, this costs 2 coins, then this costs 3 coins, then this costs 1 coin. You know, it's like, then a car costs a coin, but a gun costs like 4 coins. You know,
yes.
He buys a suit for 6 coins, then he rents a hotel room for 1, you know. It's,
yeah, the hotel room or the doctor or whatever, but then just to enter the lounge in the first one, he had to put a coin in the slot.
Yeah.
And I was like, that seems...
Yeah, but it's all based on... What the fuck did we say?
How you get the coins isn't... They say they have monetary value, and people also want money.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't... I don't get muddled down in those.
Well, it was based only on the importance, yes, right? That's mm-hmm. what it was, yeah. Not on the coin itself, coin value.
You get a coin not solely based on its monetary value.
It's like a favor for a favor. Yes, yeah.
Is exactly
that,
how
that
it
was
works.
How I took it. But no, I loved that. I liked the idea of the hierarchy. What I didn't like was the one above the table part. Like that was a little too much. That was too far, I think. That was a little too kung fu style for a kung fu movie.
Yeah.
Style. And I love that in a kung fu movie, but we haven't done anything quite like that yet. And then out of nowhere, we get this quest across the desert. You know, it's a little, so I'm with you on that.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not nitpicking like the little, how does this work and how does that work? Like, those are actually just intriguing.
Yeah.
I'm only nitpicking the things the movie's telling me.
Yeah.
So it
seemed a little like the architect in The Matrix 2, which you haven't seen, but he comes out of nowhere. Like at least this one above the table had a little bit of a buildup. Architect just gets dropped out of nowhere, and Neo walks into exposition room.
So here's where some of my problems come from. So we're already in spoilers, so screw it. But so they go to the Hobo King, and
I thought he was awesome.
Yeah,
dude, Jason Mantzoukas was creepy as shit in this movie.
Yeah. Dude,
TikTok, Mr. Wick. I was like, ugh.
No, and I'm not even going to get into that, because those are kind of nitpicks. Because, like, people slowly become less scared of John Wick despite him surviving in insurmountable odds. And the first one, people were like, I don't even want to fuck with that
guy. The king never gave
like
a shit.
The bouncer at the club, he got the drop on him, and he just goes, like, go in. But in this movie, if you help John Wick, it's kind of like let me start from the beginning. The Hobo King. They go to him and they're like, he was with you and you didn't kill him. And he's like, contracts are optional. I don't have to kill him. Yeah, but you helped him to go kill somebody else. In the first, they told him, once you do the marker, you can just go kill him. Yeah. Ian McShane says it straight up.
I know.
Like, do the marker and then go kill him if you want to.
Winston, Ian McShane's character, tells him flat out, the marker holder in the second movie, like, don't do this.
Yeah.
Don't do this. And he's just like, nah, fuck that guy. There's always a group of dudes, like, look at Theon Greyjoy in the first one.
Yes.
He gave no shits about John Wick.
But he didn't even know who he was,
yeah.
And now everybody, including any person on the street, knows who he is.
Yeah, yeah.
That was kind of an odd plot hole. That doesn't matter, but
yeah.
It's not even a plot hole. It's just kind of weird. They didn't know where they were going at the beginning of the story, so it's fine.
No.
It sets up the tension of, like, it sets up the discovery for the viewer of what's going on.
I think that's a bit of, because I see where your problem is. I still don't agree with you fully, but I see it does kind of feel like they're flying by the seat of their pants with this, and they're just loosely connecting it all together.
Yeah, now it's like he moved against somebody who's part of this elite thing, and now the whole of this organization is going to excommunicate him, even though that was his own actions initially.
Yeah,
but now they're going around punishing people who were like, you helped him. They're like, I'm just helping a guy.
Yeah, that his was actions really weird. I agree with you on that, where I was just like, so everybody's like, I understood Winston getting in trouble because he gave him the hour.
Mm-hmm.
But the king, he didn't do anything.
No. And just like the other guys are like, oh, I'm here to serve. And it's like, in the first one, they talked about, we have all these secrets and money, and that's how we control our part of the city. Now it's like, no, they all work for one person, the high table.
Yeah.
They're just making shit up. Like I said, they're telling me too much at this point for plot reasons.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Because I was thinking at one point while I was watching the movie, like, man, I fucking love this. But I understand, there's a part of it where I'm just like, all right, this all started out really small. And this movie especially feels like you said, it's a lot all at once. I still love the shit out of it, though, dude.
No, for sure. And especially in the second one, when he was convincing people to help him, like, once he takes the seat at the high table, he's going to try to take New York. Making it seem like there's a constant power struggle in those top, like, regional things going on.
New York is some kind of debated over territory.
And I thought Ian McShane was kind of at the front of that.
I thought it was like Ian McShane and King.
Yeah.
When the King got introduced in the second one. I thought that we were some kind of,
and
like,
they're just like, no, we'll take your throne. We'll take your hotel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, so what do these people do?
Yeah.
Why are there different sects if they all work for the same person?
There's tiny little holes in it, dude. And it's enough. And especially this one, it really kind of makes all those tiny little holes that didn't really, you almost forgot about in the other two movies. And it, like, highlights them.
Exactly.
You're kind of like, wait, this doesn't work.
I don't nitpick it if it's not the main focus.
And
the problem with this plot is the main focus with this hierarchy going on.
Mm-hmm.
And once you make that the focus, I feel like it's fair game for me to blow it out.
Like, my thing is, like, I was kind of having a chuckle to myself watching the movie. And I was just like, so he's excommunicado, except for when it's convenient with the plot. Because everybody just lets him walk right into all these hotels.
Yes, like, for sure. That one made me laugh a little bit, but I kind of got it. Where it's like, hey, we can tell him to leave, but you still would be breaking the rules. You can't kill somebody who's excommunicado on our ground because you're still under our rules. But they shouldn't have let him in. But they shouldn't have let him in anyway.
Yeah.
So
because I thought that's what it was going to end up meaning, was that our services, because they say our services are no longer available to you. And I thought that went all encompassing. Like, you can't fucking come in here.
Yeah. Yeah,
it doesn't matter if you got your hand on the step or a foot on the step or whatever. This is just a staircase.
Yep.
Fuck you. You know, like, that's how I thought it was going to go down. And don't show your face in here or you're going to die, because it's a hive of all those people.
Yeah.
So I thought the rules didn't apply to him. So if one of the people inside the hotel takes him out, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I don't know. I just thought it was funny.
Yeah. And that one's kind of like a who cares, but I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
But like
it just seems like it's there for plot convenience, you know, like, well, we have to do something to move the story forward.
And in a John Wick movie, you don't care that much, but there's a lot of a long stretch, a big part of this movie. That's,
well, especially when the whole theme of the rule of the movie is there are rules.
You broke the rules and now we're going to pull out all your pubic hair. Yeah.
Nice. And that was kind of what was going on. And then, like, it's just, I don't know. It was all of, stop poking holes in the movie.
No, like I said, only the things that they're asking me to accept as plot points, yeah, I'm poking holes in. That you could poke holes in the whole backstory.
Oh, and the whole series. Through the whole series. Like I said, yeah. It's all got tiny little holes in it. And you're like, well, wait a minute. And this movie just magnifies them.
The first one
puts them all together. Yeah,
the first one gave you a little sprinkle. Then the second one expanded it, but made you go, I wonder how that works. And then this one said, we're going from the top brass down to here. And it's like, now let's get to the main part of the movie, because the plot has never been that important. That's one of its main problems, is making it so important.
Mm-hmm.
Action sequences, set pieces, and just cinematography overall.
Dude, so the structure of the movie. Sound in the films has always been top notch. And in this one, it seems to, like, every gunshot you feel and the brutality of every fight.
Especially the shotgun with the slugs.
Oh, dude, that first shot he takes with the new shot, when he come out with the shotgun.
It was
in a
theater that the sound wasn't broken, thank God.
Yeah, right? because when we saw Pokemon, our sound was busted. And
the bass was turned all the way down.
Yeah, it sucked. But in this one, when he comes out and just hits that first guard and half the guard's helmet explodes.
Yeah.
That was amazing. The fight in the library with that giant guy was one of the most brutal things I've ever... Like, they pulled no punches in this one. This one has the most brutal hand-to-hand combat and gun combat that I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
I've ever seen.
And dog combat as well.
Dude. All right, man. If you love dogs, this is the movie for you. Like, I loved my dog, dude, and it's always wanted to have a badass attack dog, you know. And it's just, those two dogs are so sweet. Holly Berry's dogs are the shit, dude. I feel like it kind of made up for the fact that she's not very good.
No.
Like, every time you watched her fight, credit to her for doing her own shit.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Thank God that was amazing. Good for her.
But she worked really well with the dogs too, because I'm sure she had to give commands and stuff, and that all felt very believable.
That was really cool. Well, and I like how she used the dogs. They weren't like killers. They were there to hold them while she came up and then did something. And they were sneaky too. They'd run around and. It's like when you're playing like D&D and one of your dudes always has a dog or something like that, and they want to fucking usually use that animal as their main weapon. It's like, that thing's gonna die. No, like this was smart. They wrote the dogs well into the script. You know, they weren't there to make you feel sad when one got shot or something like that. They were there as tools, and they were used perfectly. Holly Berry, a little weak in the combat and stuff like that, but she, again, like, she did it all herself, so at least it looks like
it. Yeah, for sure.
So yeah,
and if she didn't, then top good marks on them for making it look like that.
Yeah,
the dogs were great.
The dog, dude, that shot where the two of them come up over the table, that was so sweet. And the first when she first uses the dog and it goes running up over those stills,
yeah,
boom, 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 boom. Just dude, that was so cool. Just grabs that dude's neck and tackles him.
Like I said, any of my problems with this movie are definitely not with the fight choreography or anything.
Mark
like that.
Dukakis as the muscle, the villain, the not the main villain, but like the antagonist, I guess, would be. He is hilariously evil. Like, I thought he was wonderful. Like, he's just. Hang on, John. I just gotta take my breath.
Yeah.
I'll be there in a minute. I just gotta say, you are so cool. I'm so happy to meet you.
We're the same. No, we're not.
I think we are.
We are.
I think we are.
Yeah, he was great. Like I said, most of the performances were really good.
Top notch. Ian McShane was awesome in this movie.
So we went from Hellboy, right? To this.
I was gonna bring that up.
Like, I guess they gave him a pot of coffee and we're like, we're paying you a real salary for this.
He's always been on his shit though in the John Wick movies. And then
he really has.
Like, you watch him in Hellboy and it's just like, he doesn't care.
He plays a similar character too in Hellboy, but like, it's like night and day.
He doesn't care. I think he really cares. He plays a similar character in the Hercules movie with The Rock. And you can really tell he's sauced, because he's in a lot of that movie. Like, way more than he is in Hellboy. In Hercules, he is just trashed for the whole movie. And when I see him in John Wick, it's like watching him on Deadwood. Like he's present. He's there. He's doing his thing.
He's not erect. Deadwood.
Deadwood.
Anyway.
So. I got it, dude.
No.
Boo.
He's very good.
Boo.
He's very good.
I like the concierge. See, I was gonna say good. We got to see the concierge kick some ass this time around. That was awesome. I love John's dog, dude.
Oh,
normally not a pit bull guy, but that dog is beautiful. He's just a hunk of muscle, man.
I was gonna say they found the best looking pit bull.
Oh yeah,
for this movie.
He's not been, you know, like
his
like,
ears aren't all cropped.
No, I was gonna say he's not a brute.
Yeah,
he's just a pup.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that scene where he jumps up and he's just licking the shit out of his face. That was, and then like Dukakis is trying to be all sinister and like a fanboy at the same time with him, and he's just like, right. We're the same. No, we're not.
He's really good. I like him as much as I liked Common in the second one.
Oh, dude, Common is my favorite.
Yeah.
Common was awesome in that movie.
He really was. There's, like I said, there's a little less subtlety in this one.
It's a lot more on the nose, and I enjoyed that. The humor was definitely a little cranked up. Mm-hmm. Normally, it's real subtle. It's still dry, but it's like really in your face.
The knife fight was very, very brutal and very cool.
Oh, yeah.
And then it ends with kind of like hilarious itchy and scratchy style violence.
What, when he starts pin cushioning everyone?
Well, that like that I was like a little wacky, but it was still kind of brutal in the moment. It was the guy like coughing or whatever, and then just out of focus in the background, he just picks up a two-handed axe and throws it, and the guy's head explodes into the camera, and that's the end of the scene.
I loved it.
Yeah, and it's great.
I may have clapped in the theater.
No. Oh, people were loving it, for sure.
Oh, dude, it was I just top marks, dude.
Yeah,
it was way more wacky. It was way more cartoony and wacky this time around. But like, it didn't feel out of place. It was weird.
It was like the
sometimes it was a bit much, but like the whole thing, like, I was never like, why are they doing this now? Like, it all felt appropriate because that humor's always been there.
Yeah, the first one was he was very tactical with how he took people out. It was always like triple tapping and things of that nature. And this one was more improvisational. Improvisational. Thank you, Josh.
I got you.
So, you know, you could say it was a little ridiculous, but it was all filmed and done very well, and they still do the whole tactical. You see people reloading.
Oh, dude,
what that's feels still like a real, like the actor pulled it off in that amount of time.
Yeah, and I was gonna say that is the thing that I really like about this movie is it is that over the top. These guys should never be running out of bullets.
Yes,
like if this was the traditional like John Woo style, or, you know, I think Sam Peckinpah. I wanted to say Sam Peckinpah, but I believe that Sam Peckinpah was the first movie. It was The Wild Bunch. I think his was the first movie where people ran out of bullets.
Mm.
Normally it was just like, I've got a six shooter and I can shoot for days, you know, like a Tombstone.
Yeah.
Like that movie cracks. I love that movie, but like, especially at the scene when Curly Bill Powers Booth is out in the street, just shooting at everything. The guy fires like 20 times and never reloads his gun and then still has enough ammo to shoot the sheriff. But yeah, in this it's awesome. Cause like, that especially in the last fight when they're attacking the hotel, you just watch John burn through clips, dude.
Dude, and not only that, the way
when he's reloading the shotgun, he's
putting shells into that shotgun,
chunk, 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 and then he doesn't cock it; he grabs the side and loads it like that, and then flips it over. It's well, like you've seen that video online.
And it wasn't a pump action; it was a semi.
It was an auto, wasn't it?
Semi auto.
Was it semi auto? Okay. Have you seen that video online of him doing the gun range?
Yeah.
The dude knows what he's doing. Yeah, and it shows that like he really trained for
this. He takes it really seriously. And I know people are like, this was his big comeback. Like he didn't really go anywhere.
No.
But he wasn't in big Hollywood movies.
What it boils down to was he did The Matrix and then like nobody really cared anymore. Yeah. But the guy was still out there doing shit. Like he was fine because everybody called The Matrix his comeback.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, so what? He gets two comebacks?
He gets two comebacks.
That's what blows my mind. It's like, I never stopped liking Keanu Reeves. Like, he's awesome.
Me either. But like, this is his big thing.
These are his
best. And he's taking it very seriously.
Yeah, I was going to say, these are his best. Like, I love the first Matrix. Not such a fan of the final two. Two is better than the third. But anyway. But these have been consistently good. I think these are much better movies.
Absolutely. Like I said, I started out with, this is not a bad movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I just personally think that it's not as good as the other two. But if we're talking about strictly visuals, yes, it's the best.
Well, and see, what I liked about this one was the look of it. The second one is great, but the first and the third one have a symmetry to them. They look the same. The second one doesn't look anything like either of these two. And I wonder if that's because the second one's not done by the same guy. Not the same director, if I remember. Not the same
director, anyway.
I don't think it's the same director. But it's you get that cool neon, you know, that dark neon, like saturated colors.
I saw it in XD. The first, like I said, the first half of the movie, I was like, this is amazing.
And the rain was awesome. Yes. Yeah, yeah. That looked great. And then I loved the look of the VIP lounge or the staff lounge, whatever it was. I thought that was great. Did you catch the Skyfall callbacks in that fight scene?
Yes, I absolutely did.
Yeah.
There's
callbacks in a lot of the fight scenes to a lot of stuff in this movie. And there is. Really cool. Because
it's stunt guys making movies.
So, yeah. And that's what I think is great because like normally a stunt guy makes a movie and you get like, God, what's that terrible alien movie? They spend most of it in a hotel room. Shit. What the hell is the name of that crappy ass movie?
I don't know.
They just did the sequel for it. Go ahead and say what you're going to say, dude, because I'm going to look that up.
There's one thing. Because I really liked what they did with the when he goes to, I guess, his weird Han Solo-esque childhood orphan thing.
Okay, I thought that was cool.
No, it was really cool. Because
where John got trained, and I thought that was cool.
No, it was really cool. I was just kind of making a Han Solo joke.
No.
So I really liked that they're doing with the ballet and stuff. All of that looked very good, especially later when the people come out, and it's all very great.
It's Angelica Houston. She's amazing.
Yes. The end of the movie in the hotel, I don't know if this wasn't showing on the monitor or if this was, it was shot anamorphic or what, but the tactical lights they had, the high table people coming in.
Oh yeah.
It had a weird lens flare effect that made it look like a football. It had two lines
It was like, weird looking.
Did they not see that on the monitor and go, we should change out these lights? It was distracting.
It was weird.
For 30 seconds.
Yeah, it is real weird. It does kind of go, wait, what? Why does this light
It wasn't a typical lens flare that you would see from that.
No, it was a strange lens flare because it did. It looked like a football or like an eyeball. I had thought maybe it was supposed to look like an eye.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was unclear
how
that happened. And I feel like that's something they could fix in post, especially because JJ was talked about in Into Darkness, how they took out
his lens flares. Yeah. Like, JJ, calm down. Skyline was the movie that I was thinking of.
I have never seen it.
Dude, don't. Well, do. It's a stupid fucking movie. It's terrible. And then the end of it happens, and you're like, okay, this is fun. Where was this the rest of the movie?
You have to stretch it out to 90 minutes.
Yeah, God. Yeah,
and dude, this is a movie that has mostly action sequences that has no problem filling 90 minutes.
No.
It was 2 hours long.
I know. It was great. It was great.
Yeah.
It does drag in the middle there.
A bit, but not too much.
It's so weird.
Once he gets there, they just go, okay, no, leave.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, thanks a lot. Bye. All right. What was I gonna bring up? I loved that shot when the ballet dancers are dancing and then the dudes, goons come walking out of the shadows and it looks like it's part of the dance. It was, the choreography in these is so amazing.
They kill people, but they want to do it in style.
Exactly. It's beautiful. Everything's beautiful.
Absolutely.
It's such a great movie. I'm going to stand by it, though, dude. It's my favorite one.
No, I can. Yeah, that's perfect.
It's my absolute favorite one. Perfectly, and I just watched the second one and forgot how much I loved that one.
I was going to say, and I can't even make the argument like, well, I just saw the second one, so I think because we watched it together.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Dude, it's crazy because I loved the Bourne movies so much, but like the Bourne movies started to have diminishing returns immediately after the first one. And I feel like these have, at the very least, maintained the quality of the first one.
Absolutely. I would agree with that wholeheartedly. I remember when we were talking about Mission Impossible Fallout. I was talking about it being the best action movie in however long. And you brought up John Wick. And I was like, yes, true. And I hadn't seen the second one at the time. But I'm like, this one has more story to go with the action than John Wick does.
Oh yeah, this no, one Fallout has a good story.
This one attempts to do more story.
It doesn't,
and it's halfway there.
it's to its detriment. Because Fallout for the first time ever really kind of sells the whole, because it doesn't do the whole like Mission Impossible's in danger and you know, here comes it. It's like, no, this guy may be rogue now. We actually have to look at him, you know, he's in trouble. Fallout was just a great film.
Yeah, it's a great
movie. Yeah, oh, dude, again, like, there's callbacks to Fallout. There's callbacks to Skyfall. Mm-hmm. There's, there was a callback to The Matrix. There's Matrix callbacks all over the place.
I wonder if you mean when, because I had it in my mind that he's like, let's set the mood, and then they turn on a bunch of green LEDs. And I was like, that's a weird mood to set. Are we kind of doing...
I was wondering, no, that wasn't what I was thinking of. It was mostly like the fights in the rain and everything.
Oh,
because that true. A lot of that felt
in the rain kind of shit. Yeah.
And then I felt like the whole fight in the museum was kind of a send up to Daredevil. I could be wrong. That could be something totally different. Because I mean, there's a lot of love for kung fu movies, and there's a lot of kung fu movies that I haven't seen.
Tons.
There's so many I haven't seen, and it's abundantly clear that this has its roots firmly in that wuxia type of movie. It's great. I think I said that right. God, I hope I did. Otherwise, I made a fool of the podcast.
What an idiot.
I thought that part was, they shut the lights off, and I was like, well, these dudes are gonna have night vision. And they turned those green lights on, and I was like, oh, maybe that fucks up the night vision so they can't use it.
Could be.
You know, but like, I don't know. That seemed like I was trying to dig a little deep in there.
I'm not sure what happened with that whole sequence with the lighting, because again, I'm talking about the lens flares with those flashlights.
It's a little weird.
And then there's a couple of times where I'm just like, I can just tell that these are just LED strips, like fucking two-sided tape to the wall.
Exactly.
It was odd. I don't know. That's an actual nitpick that I'm not going to
get. I was going to say, that's a deep nitpick.
Yeah.
I mean, I got it.
I mean, set design, it's fair to be critiqued, but that's a little too much. Yeah. But I did like the color palette that it ended up making.
Yeah.
Like I said, I really, really enjoyed the movie. Yeah. I just, when you were telling me it's the best fucking one and they're going to answer so many questions, you were right. And then halfway through the movie, I was like, you've gone too far.
You go too far.
But then again, I was thinking, how are they going to resolve this? You know, how do we get back to another place? So they're opening it up for a little bit of like, because I mean, fucking spoiler alert, this isn't the last one.
I don't think anybody that goes into these should be expecting it to be the final.
I really thought they were going to trilogy it.
No, dude, I feel like we're going to do these until Keanu Reeves dies.
I wasn't expecting it. In fact,
I'm with you. I was kind of entertaining the idea until like halfway through the movie, and I was just like, yeah, this isn't it.
I was like, wait, how long is this movie? And then I was like, oh, okay. But and I do like that they're going to like fight the power or whatever. Or they're gonna, I like that it's
Morpheus and Neo back together. Again.
Exactly. They're gonna blow it up a bit, and I'm like, so I understand why they expanded on that and made it kind of not make sense, because they're going to make sense of it in the next one.
I just hope that in the next one, they don't go too far. And we have, you know,
I feel like they already kind of did. So might as well just keep going.
Well, see, no, but like, I hope that, I think don't double down on it. Cause I remember what happened with Matrix 2 when Neo was CGI fighting like 400 Smiths.
Oh,
that's, I don't want to see him fighting armies of guys by himself. Like, he already did that in this movie and he did a great job because he barely lived through it. That's what makes these movies great, is he's not unkillable. They want to make it
practical and well-rehearsed, I don't
see him fucking, you know, like, impaling a dude on a fucking stop sign and then doing, like, a merry-go-round on a bunch of guys. But, like, you know what I'm trying to say. Like, he becomes, like, what John McClane turned into, where he's this unkillable badass.
Maybe... This is the one where it's like everybody wants to kill him. And this one, they think he's dead or he's missing. I think we should
dial it back on this next one and make
the next one a little bit more
in line with the first one, maybe the second one.
Tactical. You
know? Yeah. I'd like to see Common come back.
Yeah.
Maybe be on the side of Wick.
It was a professional courtesy.
He won't be.
He will return that professional courtesy. I understand what you're saying, and I think that they will make it more. I think they're going to lean into the plot a little bit more and maybe make the action make sense within that. Mm. In this one, it was like, fuck you guys. We're going to, and this is another part. The ending of the movie is a little stupid.
It's pretty stupid.
It doesn't make any sense. he's like,
it's a twist
Twix's sake. Anyway, I know I said Twix. So,
wow.
I said it on purpose. I did. So they're like, let's fight these motherfuckers. And then it was kind of like, we can do this all day. You're going to lose. And then he goes, all right, well, let's talk it out. How about I just stop? And they're like, okay, fine. You win. You can have your hotel back. I'm like, what? You just said you can fucking kill him if you want to. Like, if you're so And it was he could be like, well, I won, so fuck you.
I thought it was going to be a ruse so that John could get out. And then...
And that's still up in the air, but that might just be Ian McShane's acting, because that's still up in the air. He was just like, well, he's gone, whatever. And I was like, are you just not worried about it?
Or? Well, because like he did the same thing when they were like, yeah, you got to give up your hotel.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, fine. There are rules, you know? And now he's just like, okay, well, my friend is dead and I shot him.
I was like, why would you give him an hour and then you're going to have consequences and then just be like, let's fight him. Never mind. And she's like, oh, you're just showing that you have a lot of power, so we'll give you your hotel back. You can have it back. And I was like, you just said, bro, we'll send more people. You're not going to win.
Maybe he saw the handwriting on the wall and was just like, I'd rather get rid of him than fucking cap my losses.
And I agree. And then they're like, but what about him? And he's like, well, I'll just fucking kill him. And I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But was that his plan?
Yeah.
And then, but that's the thing is fucking Morpheus basically said like, that was his plan. I don't blame him. I'm like, that was a stupid fucking plan. How did he know that was going to work out? When apparently you go against the table and they fucking destroy you.
Oh, yeah.
Instead, you just go against them super hard and they go, wow, that's moxie.
Strong back and moxie. Yeah. No, the ending was kind of a... I do like that it's going to be the two of them in the next movie, because I think I like Winston a lot. Mm-hmm. But I didn't need him to be a main character.
His subtlety and his little helping... hand shit,
yeah,
it's kind of done.
Yeah,
now we need somebody who's like there to just,
well, and I feel like that's why they introduced the King in the second movie, because like he was a way more interesting character. Like organized bums that are putting on a show, you know, is always a fun thing.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, sure. No, we're all well off, we're all doing fine. There with
counting machines, stacking, yeah, they all got money.
Counting machines, they're getting into lockers to put on their bum clothes,
yeah. It's great stuff.
It is fantastic. It is such a great
And that's the series. Thing. Just a little bit of the intrigue is gone because the difference...
Yeah.
You don't meet like a new sect like when you... In the second one, when you met the bums, you're like, that's fucking interesting.
Yeah, and this now one...
Now you know they're the all under one fucking rule.
Yeah, yeah. There's
that
a
will
Senate,
fuck you.
Apparently.
Yeah, that will just fuck you over if you do wrong bad guy stuff instead of whatever the hell good bad guy stuff is at this time.
Yeah.
I don't understand
anymore. Well, that's not a new idea. Like, the movie Payback had the syndicate... Cowboy Bebop, I can't remember what their big criminal organization was, but it was like, everybody runs through us kind of thing. Firefly.
For sure.
It's not a new thing. Everybody likes that idea of like an Illuminati for the mafia. And it's kind of cool, but yeah, I get it, where you're just kind of like, all right.
For sure, but everybody, that's the thing, everybody's game to take out the guy who fucked over, when you would think that they'd be like, no, I think they were fine in their actions. Like, there's no debate over...
Yeah, well, no, it was
over...
funny, because, like, the king didn't have a problem with it, so he didn't do anything. And then they were like, well, now we're going to have to screw you over. And that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. I agree with you 100%. Yeah. Like, who cares who participates in this manhunt or not?
And it looks like there's...
It's not my job to do that. I can pass on this.
Between Ian McShane and what's going on with the king, because I think Ian McShane's not completely...
No, we'll find out.
I think that's a twist of a twist of a twist, but...
It's a double-double
I think
cross.
It's going to be like, oh, we're going to try to get our shit back, and I'm saying it like it's dumb, but it'll be cool.
Oh, it'll be
They're
awesome.
Going to add more.
Yeah.
I think... They gave us a little bit and then a little bit more and it was intriguing. Now they gave us a lot more, but not enough.
Do you think we'll
so
see
I think
Holly
once
Berry
we get
then?
More
yeah.
from here, I think it'll kind of even out to make more sense and be a little bit cooler.
Yeah.
No, I think Halle Berry is gone.
Yeah. Think so? You don't think she's gonna be like Leguizamo and show up every once in a while?
No, I don't think so.
Damn, because I was hoping to see the dog.
I don't know. I was gonna say maybe the daughter comes into play or something stupid. I don't know.
It'd be interesting. But like, oh god, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
but I really like that like they all know that they're part of it, but they like they want out kind of, or
yeah,
they
no
understand.
One wants to be,
nobody
yeah.
really wants to be there.
Yeah. I think it would be cool if they doubled down on that and we explored that angle a little bit more, where it was like, yeah, we're all screwed in here because we all made choices and now we have to deal with the consequences.
Yeah, which I thought just kind of, you know, favor for favor for favor. Yeah. Now there's this high table and it's. With a little bit more explanation, I think they can make it work.
Go flesh it out.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. I look forward to the next one.
Oh, for sure.
I love this series.
For sure.
So great.
I think as a trilogy, I mean, if this actually had an ending, it's like grade A. So if they pull off the next one.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's like...
I mean, they made...
Like, I'm making the joke, and I'm also saying I'm looking forward to it, but at the same time, like... I don't want this to go on for too long. I don't want to go watch John Wick chapter 12.
John's motivations are very convoluted at this point.
From
the first one to the end of this one.
I think it's they've got one more movie, honestly.
Yeah.
Like if I was thinking about it, there's one more movie where we put the nail in the coffin and that's it.
I agree.
Because it's only been a matter of weeks in John Wick world.
Yes.
How long is this week going to last, you know?
Agreed.
It's like watching 24. Like, I can never take a vacation because every week it's just the worst.
Yeah, they got to wrap it up before it overstates its welcome. But at the same time...
We were all on board for every Marvel movie.
I was going to say, they made Marvel movies forever. Harry Potter
gonna make
ran
Star Wars
eight,
for forever.
Yeah, eight movies. Star Wars is 10 movies and counting. Yeah, and you know what? It's nice. We have King of Monsters.
Is it really 10 movies?
Yes, more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. 11 movies, right? Because we're gonna have 12.
Yes.
This next one will be the 12th one if you don't count the Clone Wars movie, which I don't. So, and that's cool. Because it's nice to look forward to something, but like they're making a story here, you know, and it has to wrap up at some point, especially when you're like making it up as you go. But it's nice, like out of nowhere, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, that John Wick's coming out. tons of people in the theater. Well, like, everybody's like we loving saying, it. And I'm like, oh man, that was a great movie going experience.
It's like we were saying about the Mission Impossible movies and the Star Trek movies Star when Trek, they were doing yeah. Star Trek. You know, it was like, oh man, this is cool. That's how I felt about the Planet of the Apes remakes and stuff. Yeah. Like War of the Planet and everything like that. It was always like a series that was pretty decent and had like a really good story, real cool action. Always flew under the radar though. And I feel like John Wick's got a bigger presence, but like it's still one of those movies where it's just, it's not connected to anything and it's its own thing and you can still
It's its own thing. It's cool going to a movie that doesn't have a huge hype train behind it.
Yeah.
But still like a lot of butts in the seats. It's like really kind of blockbuster.
Was your theater packed?
Yes.
Yeah, ours was too.
It's kind of blockbuster action, kind of dumb kind of movie, but like really good. And it's like
well, it's nice. It's that good.
There's not
it's
enough a, of that.
I hesitate to call it dumb, and I know what you're saying. And I know you know what you mean. Yes. But it's just that good escapism type of movie where it's just it's one of those old style action movies. It's not based on a comic. It's not based on a book. It's not derived from anything. It's an original work, and it's just you just go and watch a good kick ass.
It's not a new superhero movie. It's not a new Mission Impossible movie. It's not a new Fast and Furious movie, which all of these I love.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, but still a successful franchise that just kind of
original,
original thing that made it.
Yeah.
And people are actually going to see it. So it's a good surprise. In the middle of this summer where we're talking about like, oh my God, we've got.
Yeah, Homecoming, Toy Story. You got Godzilla, Toy Story,
You had an Avengers movie, you have a fucking a Shazam, and you have just tons of these big tentpole franchise movies. Then you have John Wick in here, and I'm like, man, that's probably one of the best ones this year.
I really enjoyed it a lot. Yeah, dude, that's my big movie.
Yeah, that's really all I gotta say about that.
Yeah.
I think it's a great movie. I think in terms of ranking them, its plot gets in the way of the story, which is he kills people. And to be fair, it doesn't really get in the way because he does plenty of that.
Oh, yeah. He does the most of that, I believe,
in this movie. Yes, I believe so, yeah. It definitely is a ramp.
Yeah.
Because the first one, you know, half of it is just setting up why he wants to kill a bunch of people.
Yeah.
The second one is fucking up people from the beginning. And then giving an excuse halfway through.
Yeah.
No, it's really good. That franchise, they pulled it off.
Yeah, definitely thumbs up for that one, dude.
Thumbs. Two big thumbs up from here at the Mighty Movie Pod.
We do thumbs now. You're trying to think of something for us to actually do. Don't.
We do thumbs here.
We do thumbs here.
That's gross.
It is.
Did you see anything else, Josh, that you would like to talk about?
I watched a movie from 2018 called A Private War. Okay. It was the biopic of the journalist Marie Colvin.
Okay.
Rosamund Pike was in it.
Oh.
Played the title character. It's an excellent film. It's an excellent, excellent film. It's she's a journalist. She covered all the work coverage and everything.
Theatrical release?
It was, but I feel like it passed under the radar and everything. I don't think anybody fucking saw it. And it's a damn shame because it's one of those movies about wartime journalism that where like it's about the human side of it and the effect that these war that like the an honest effect of an honest showing. God, get your word together. Of what the effect of seeing all this horror and maybe not part, like you're not a soldier or anything, but seeing that PTSD can affect people that aren't soldiers, because it is a misconception that PTSD only affects soldiers.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But no, this it's like she has nightmares of all the dead people she's seen, all the horrors that she's seen going out and being embedded with these units and stuff like that. You get a lot of that. And, they do a great job of showing you what it's like to be the Hollywood version of what it's like to be, you know, boots on the ground with these soldiers and with these rebel factions in these war-torn countries and stuff. Cause there's like a real terror that goes on and they're dodging bullets and it's very good at portraying and at giving as honest a portrayal as you can through a film. And I really, really enjoyed it. And I got really wrapped up in the story of the film. Great performance. Rosamund Pike's awesome.
I was going to say, now that you're mentioning, now I'm thinking of things that I've seen.
It's the one with the...
When I see when I'm thinking Rosamund Pike, yeah, I think I know what you're talking
She's
about.
She's got the eye patch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that movie, dude. And okay. it's on Amazon. I highly recommend everybody check it out. It was a great movie. It was very, very good. Watch something funny afterwards, though, because it's going to make you a little sad. It's a very heavy movie. It's a lot of, you know, but
you,
like,
I
really
want to
watch
something
it.
Funny afterwards, Josh. I think I have the thing for you.
Oh, no.
Let's talk about the Game of Thrones finale here for a minute.
Oh, man. So I was wondering, I haven't watched it, but I've done some reading.
The night before
that
came on, me and you were hanging out, having some adult beverages.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember explaining to you that everybody is ridiculous and that everybody just hates everything for hating everything's sake. And
I believe your exact phrase was, you know what I love about today? Everybody hates everything.
Yes. And I was like, it's fine. Like, it's fine. It's a television show. And you know how I feel about that. But
yeah.
I was like, it's a television
show.
He's
above TV.
It's a little rushed. Guys. It's kind of dumb. But overall, like, if you like Game of Thrones, who like kind of gives a shit, you're probably just being ridiculous.
No.
And then the very next day, I was like, this shit is garbage.
Really?
I didn't like it.
Really?
I didn't like it.
What didn't you like about it?
A lot of things.
Okay.
Do
you want to talk about it off air? Or do you want?
No, I'll talk about it here. I don't care. Game of Thrones spoilers. You warned. So
yeah, we didn't warn him about John Wick spoilers. We're on top of those Game of Thrones finale spoilers.
It's true. They're fucking everywhere. It was okay.
No, dude, everybody's talking. You can't get away from it. I don't know shit. I didn't watch. I haven't watched for 3 years, and I know what happened in the finale.
Exactly. Overall, I think it's just kind of meh, but that's every fucking finale of most TV shows.
I was
going to
say, there's only been a few finales that I've really enjoyed.
I think the only thing that like really was off-putting was like they had a one episode swing of the motivations of every main character except for one. And then,
yeah, I read that Bran is the king.
Yes,
he and is. I was like, but Bran didn't give a shit about any of this.
Okay, that exactly. We're talking about every character has a complete change except for one.
Yeah.
Daenerys had her kind of change in the last one, but you're like, we saw the writing on the wall with her.
Yeah,
and Tyrion does a very good job of explaining like. She, everything she's done till this point has been with people that were a little questionable. So everybody said like, she's probably good. But when you think about it in the grand scheme of things, she's always kind of just been a murderous bitch.
Oh yeah. No, her answer to everything was fucking
just
burn
it down.
Yeah.
Exactly. So my problem is with Tyrion basically kind of going absolutely nowhere. Jon Snow, it's kind of,
he just ends up right back where he started.
He just kind of ends up where he started. And it's kind of like his journey was to go back and do nothing again, which the whole point of his character being up there is like, he has no idea who he is while he's just up at the wall being a nobody. He's destined for great things. He's not. So,
but isn't that, you know, what the whole show's been about?
For sure.
Like,
no. And
destiny's
if,
not really
and
a
if
thing.
You really, and that's what I was going to say, if you really think of the themes of Game of Thrones, the finale is actually kind of fine. But the whole season.
But no one wants that?
Exactly. I was cool with the switch of this season where I was like, dude, we've kind of weeded everybody out. Something's got to come to a conclusion here. These people are the last players in the game.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to win out. Nobody fucking wins out, which, in the grand scheme of things, especially when it comes to the themes of Game of Thrones, I guess that's fine.
Well, don't the Starks technically win out because now
you
they
would
all
think,
rule Westeros?
I was
going to
say, you would think that, which is true. So it's heavily implied Jon's basically the king beyond the wall because the Night Watch doesn't exist.
Yeah, there's just, no reason for it.
Basically, they just tricked Grey Worm into thinking he was going to jail when they just kind of sent him north. Tyrion is like, I'm in trouble. But also, I'm going to have a rousing speech where I say Brandon should be king, and I decide everything, and I'm still Hand of the King, and I'm still just did nothing, basically.
Yeah.
Which is kind of boring.
Well, considering all his character development,
you'd
think he would have come around.
Basically, he tells Daenerys to fuck off, and like it was a cool moment.
Yeah.
But then immediately, fucking Jon just stabs Daenerys. And I thought it would be, and we've talked about this with things like Civil War and other movies where I'm like, nobody will talk anything out ever.
Yeah.
John's basically like, okay, this bitch is crazy. Like, this isn't going anywhere. But instead of trying to be like, but he loves her. So it's this kind of, it's supposed to be this kind of tragic thing. But it's like, bro, you could have just taken one for the team because she's like, let's rule together. And you could have been like, maybe I can control this bitch. No, he's like, I'll just stab her. So he just stabs her. And then he, I guess, gets arrested. And then Tyrion has a speech and they're like, Brandon's king now. Well, the North is independent. I was like, but she says that after everybody else voted for Brandon. And yeah. I was like, the rest of them were probably like, what the fuck? I didn't know we could all just be like, no, we want to be independent. This is shitty.
Highgarden's independent.
There's just there's just so much going on. And then it just kind of ends with like, oh, the best part, fucking Sam, because Sam, you know, after she executed his family, is basically the ruler of wherever the fuck he was from.
Yeah.
Sam is like basically suggest democracy, and I was like, are they really gonna, is this gonna be the end of the show where they invent democracy? That's hilarious. And then they all laugh at him, and then I almost felt like that was worse. This is coming from a guy 12 hours before this premiered was like, Game of Thrones is fine. Everybody's being ridiculous.
Yeah, you're just like, everybody's just dumb. They all just hate it for no reason. It's so stupid. I'm enjoying it. It's fine. Stop being bitches. And now you're like, it's
and now I'm just
garbage.
And now I'm just making fun of it. Yeah. But then again, how the hell else are you supposed to end it? You know, and it ends with that kind of like a little bit of bittersweet, like, oh, they're doing this,
well,
they're doing
maybe
that.
Maybe the author should have finished the fucking series the before he optioned
before the
it
two
off.
The two writer directors were like, we're bailing out to go do Star Wars, so let's finish the shit up.
Exactly. Why didn't they do a full season though?
I don't know. I have no idea. It would have done a lot of justice, probably.
Okay, let's say they didn't do a full season. And that would have wrapped it up. Do two more. Like,
yeah.
Wrap up with the Night King. That's your finale. Wrap up with, and then wrap it up the same way you did this season. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Kill Daenerys and all that.
No, exactly.
Shit. But give it time.
None of the direction of the show I had any problem with. Daenerys basically kind of fulfilling the fact that, like,
and you
could have
done the 6-episode format like they did this.
She would have been the Mad Queen, and it's like, it's too bad. Like,
well, that was the way it was always going to be.
I think so as well.
Fucking batshit crazy forever.
Yeah. And it's, you know, they make you be like, oh, I think she's going to do it. And then they take it away. But like, it was a 15-minute curve.
Yeah.
None of it feels earned. Like, the direction, good.
Mm-hmm.
Them earning it, fine. But like, I thought they were just going to end it.
Her
kind
descent
of,
should have been present through the entire 6 episodes.
And I was okay with it because I'm like, eh, they got to wrap it up. But like the fact that like three characters made huge decisions that like affect the entire ending of the show were just like on a dime. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine. So like the direction, cool. The way that it ended, and just kind of like, all right, and now he will be king. And now everything's fine. It's like, okay, whatever. Don't take my criticisms as like from a super fan.
Don't ever take our criticisms as
I hate television. It's dumb.
He does. He's so above television. He's too cool for TV, guys. Way too cool. What's your favorite movie again, though? Freddy Got Fingered?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's my second favorite. That's my second favorite movie.
Yeah, right after what? Good Burger.
Yeah, Good Burger's up there.
Good Burger's a good movie, though.
Good Burger's up there. Kurt's going to put you in the grinder. You keep talking about Good Burger that way.
Yeah, I'm a dude. She's a dude. You're a dude. We're all dudes.
Because we're all dudes. And Shaq eats Good Burger.
Shaq eats Good Burger.
Yes.
So does Carmen Electra.
So does Carmen Electra. No, but she's working for Kirk.
Oh, but she's evil. But then mm-hmm. she doesn't she get seduced by the power of the Good Burger? Been a while since I saw
no.
the Burger.
No, he
is she evil all
no,
the time?
No, he accidentally injures her.
That's
over and over.
Right. Yeah. It's the good old slapstick.
And then she goes back to Kirk and is like, no, I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing this anymore. Yeah. Anyway, no. So TV stupid, according to Ryan.
TV is stupid.
He loves bad shit, so don't listen to him.
I just felt like I was going to jump on the train of talking about Game of Thrones. and it was an interesting conversation between me and you because we had just talked about this like two days ago.
Well, because, we were talking about Star Wars and how like nothing makes Star Wars more mad and Star Wars fans more mad than Star Wars.
Yes.
And then we started talking about Game of Thrones, and how everyone hates Game of Thrones, you know.
Suddenly.
But they're all going to be there.
Yep. Suddenly everybody hates it.
Yeah.
And that's dumb. But also, let me tell you why it was bad. Yeah. So,
I love it.
Thought it was so good. Now we don't even know where we're at.
Yeah,
on this.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. That'll be it for this edition, episode 63 of the Mighty Movie Pod. We're available on all major podcasting apps, including Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Spotify, my friends. You can find us on twitch.tv/mightyfishproductions. I will be playing World of Warcraft Classic on there for the rest of time. And if you wonder why there are no new episodes, go to the channel. We're on YouTube, Mighty Fish Productions.
That's why we haven't had any classic ketchup episodes.
Exactly. I got nothing done. The beta came out and I played it for 30 hours straight.
Yeah.
So
a game that he knows how to play and has played all the time.
I played 3,200 hours of it. So
Jesus Murphy.
Yeah.
I can't judge. I have like 350 hours into The Division. So that's really bad. That's really embarrassing to admit. I shouldn't have said that.
We're going to be back next week talking about, Aladdin.
What? Are you kidding me? I'm not talking about Aladdin. I'll tell you what I'm talking about.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
That's not this weekend. That's next
week.
Yes,
it is.
No. It's not.
Look,
it's the weekend after.
I'm gonna look. Did you run through the contact spiel and everything already? I wasn't listening to you.
We are at Mighty Movie Pod. No,
I think you already did.
We are at Mighty Movie Pod on Twitter. You can find us on YouTube. We're Mighty Fish Productions there as well because we are Mighty Fish Productions. This is the Mighty Movie Pod. We will be back next week as usual. Josh is gonna find out what we're watching. I'm pretty sure it's Aladdin.
We're not watching Aladdin.
And the week after that should be Godzilla King of Monsters. And then I think Shaft or something stupid's coming out after that.
Shaft looks okay.
Oh,
I kind of want to see it.
I want to see it. This has been a four...
Son of a bitch! I hate being wrong all the time!
Sorry, I write the date like 14 times a day.
I remember though, because I was just like, ooh, it's on my birthday. And then I was like, oh no, it's not.
Yeah. Not close, but no cigar.
Mm.
Thank you very much for listening. This has been an uneven episode. We hope you go see John Wick. It's super good.
Yeah, see John Wick. Don't watch Game of Thrones. Don't watch Aladdin. Watch Godzilla.
Okay, bye.